Chapter 12. The Possession of UFOs. The sixth reason why UFOs are clearly demonic in origin is because they possess like demons. As we saw earlier, the Bible clearly teaches how people can become possessed by demons. It's all over the scripture. Well, again, wonder of wonders, guess what these UFO occupants also do? They just happen to possess people just like demons. Shocker. In fact, so much so that even other researchers are seeing the obvious connection. John Ankerberg.
Perhaps there is no more striking hallmark of the occult than that of spirit possession. There are literally thousands of documented cases, many involving very ugly endings. But this phenomenon is similar, if not identical, to the possession of UFO contactees, as well as some close encounter UFO cases. Whether in the occult or ufology, the person is taken over by the invading entity, sometimes voluntarily, sometimes involuntarily, and controlled by the creature for whatever purposes it has in mind. Among UFO contactees or others who communicate personally with the alleged extraterrestrials, there are also literally 1,000s of cases of what can only be termed spirit possession. Incidents of possession are mentioned by Keel, Steiger, Norman, Cato, Valley, Schwartz, Reeve, and a dozen other researchers. Indeed, a large number of UFO contactees had an occult or mediumistic background even prior to contact: Adamski, Van Tassel, Menger, all the way up to Whitley Strieber. In fact, we have personally talked with several alleged abductees and or contactees who have clearly been demon-possessed. And many spirit-possessed mediums who are not even seeking UFO communications may end up being contacted and becoming channels for both the dead and extraterrestrials. The fact that these supposedly advanced beings from outer space prefer to possess their contacts after the manner of demons is further evidence that we are dealing with an occult phenomenon.
Then, just like you'd expect with actual demonic possession, why is it that there's only one way on record to get rid of these beings when they do come your way? And that's when you command them in the name of Jesus Christ to leave, and they do every time.
Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
This phenomenon was an actual phenomenon. This was actually happening to these people. I was paralyzed.
It was luminescent.
It had gray skin.
What I saw, a typical gray.
It had big black eyes.
They all were dealing with something that was very unusual from a human perspective. This was something that I felt we needed an answer to. For at this point in time, there were no answers.
My name is Joe Jordan. I am the state director of the Mutual UFO Network of Orange County, Florida. I am also lead field investigator. When we get a call for an investigation, we take all the information we can over the phone and then we send investigators out, sometimes myself. Sometimes other investigators go with me.
We follow up and make the investigative report. These people are sincere, they have sincere experiences, and they are looking for help. They feel like we, as researcher and investigators, could be of some help.
My name is Joyce Ahrens and I'm a floral designer. My husband and I were laying in bed. I was laying on my right side and all I could see when I opened my eyes was this red light about the window. I could see my husband's shoulder, but I was paralyzed. Their skin looked like elephant skin. It had a round head with big wrap around eyes.
As an honest researcher, I realized I couldn't just count these people out because the stuff that they had was so bizarre. Most of the researchers in this realm had said it wasn't possible. This type of experience. I called some of the leading researchers in the country and I said, "Guys, I've got a very unusual case here." This man, I'll use the name Bill, enduring his experience in fear, he calls out, "Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, please help me." By calling out, he abruptly stopped his abduction experience. These entities can be stopped. In the name and authority of Jesus Christ.
After I accepted Jesus Christ, they tried to come. I kept saying, "No. No, no, you're not doing this," and I took on the empowerment of Jesus Christ. And I stopped that.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. These are spiritual entities.
Taking on the empowerment of Jesus Christ put a stop to a lot of things, and he has helped me a great deal. Thank you, Lord.
Colossians 2:15. He has spoiled principalities and powers, he made an example of them, triumphing over them in victory.
Of all things to do to stop an alien encounter or abduction is to rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ and they flee. That's exactly what demons do. They have to do what Jesus says. They have to obey him.
Mark 1:23-27. Just then a man in their synagogue, who was possessed by an evil spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." Mark 3:11-12. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. Mark 5:1-13. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned.
If there's one thing clear in the Bible, it's that demons obey Jesus. They have to. Again, why is it that of all methodologies that will get rid of these UFO occupants if they do come your way, is when you command them in the name of Jesus Christ to leave and they do? That's how demons respond. They have to obey the authority of Jesus, as these next stories reveal.
Testimony number 1.
At first everything was normal, it appeared normal, there was nothing unusual.
521 was the new home of the Moe family. Dean and Jennifer moved their 9 children across the state of Oregon to pastor a church.
As time went on, after a couple of weeks our children started coming to me and asked me what I wanted. They would say, "Why did you call me, Mom?" Like I was calling their name, but it wouldn't be me that called them to me.
I would get told to do stuff and I would do it. Like Mom asked for ice water and we got her ice water. She would say, "Thank you, but I didn't ask for it."
Dean tried to protect his family from what he thought was a physical being.
As time went on, I would be laying in bed and hear what sounded like someone coming up the steps from the basement when we didn't have anybody downstairs. I was concerned, first of all, that we might have an intruder in the house. I would jump up out of bed and go grab something and open the door to the basement, and there wouldn't be anybody there.
14-year-old Charles felt like he was being watched when he went down to the basement.
I was putting a box of Christmas stuff inside there, the door slammed, and I was trying to get out. I couldn't get out, it was shut, and it wouldn't open.
At that point I knew it was a demon present in our house. None of our kids would go downstairs without having the upstairs door open, and you had to stand there at that doorway and watch for them, so they could shout if they needed you in order to come back upstairs. They would sleep in our room, on our floor, or the living room floor. They wouldn't even go in their rooms to sleep. They wanted to be that close to Mom and Dad.
Eventually, Jennifer couldn't sleep at night either.
I'd be asleep and usually there would be a flash of light flashed into my face, and that would wake me up.
There would either be a face in my face or someone at the foot of my bed or somebody in the hall that I could see, or music. Just strange music that would play in the middle of the night.
Dean and Jennifer fasted and prayed over this activity in their home.
It left, but it had like a temper tantrum on its way out. It flung books around off of one of the bookcases.
But it is gone, definitely the house has been set free.
When I came home, everybody was more relaxed. The children were more playful. Everything in the house felt so much better. That tension had been released.
I just want to reiterate the power of our God.
Compared to Satan, he still, regardless of anything that he does, Satan is definitely in subjection to our God.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Absolutely a true statement.
Testimony number 2.
When the evil spirit used to come into me, I wanted to kill my husband.
Geeta Sharman knew she had been cursed by witchcraft. Demonic thoughts ran through her mind as she walked the crowded streets in New Delhi, India. No one was safe, especially her husband.
I gave a lot of money to black magic for spells and drugs to try to get these evil spirits away from me, but nothing changed. I wanted to die, I wanted to kill. It was pure hatred. One day I even thought of killing everyone with poison, then kill myself.
But Geeta turned on a TV program that taught that there was someone more powerful than black magic. His name, Jesus Christ.
I thought Jesus might be able to help me. So, I dialed the phone number and asked them to pray for me.
The phone counselor prayed with Geeta and helped her to accept Jesus as her savior. Then Geeta turned faith into action.
I told the evil spirit, "You don't have any authority over me because I am a child of God."
The evil spirit fled. A feeling of peace filled Geeta's heart and mind.
My life has completely changed. I speak with love to everyone, to my husband, my mother, and my brothers and sisters.
Demons flee in the name of Jesus and aliens flee in the name of Jesus. Anybody seeing a connection here? In fact, it becomes even more obvious when you listen to the rest of Christine's testimony.
A twin sister and brother and I were left alone for the day on our farm in Oregon. I was 8 years old and my brother was 12 years old. The day was hot, and we were playing in our front yard when we heard a strange humming noise and saw shadows come across the lawn. At first, I thought it was airplanes, but my brother said, "They are back." I asked him what, and he said, "These strange things that come and visit, but you have to run and hide." Being in the front yard, there were trees and shrubbery, but there really wasn't anywhere to hide.
I don't know why we didn't go inside.
It was only a matter of minutes when these objects landed in our field and another field right outside our own on the other side of the fence that grew grain. My brother told my sister and I to hide, and we frantically tried finding a spot but couldn't. These creatures were everywhere.
I mean, they were in droves. We stopped at the mimosa tree and decided to let destiny fall where it may, not knowing anything else to do. While the other same creatures surrounded the house, three of them approached us. They tried talking us into going with them, and my brother told us not to because we would never return. How he knew that I don't know, but I think something happened to him before. And he said they do sexual things to you.
My brother said the only thing to get these creatures away is by saying, out loud, not thinking it, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave."
As soon as we said those words, the three left immediately. One of them tripped on the gravel and left a scuff mark, going to a pod that was in the other farm's land. We watched all of them take off, especially the one where the creatures boarded.
The sound became intense, like a whirling and then extreme heat, and they took off, kind of midway, stopped in the sky, then shot off into the clouds.
That's when I knew they hid in the clouds.
Now, speaking of clouds in the air, isn't it interesting that the Bible says the following in regards to Satan?
Ephesians 2:2. The prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places.
And then Christine concludes with, I can tell you that they obey God's word. Just like a demon has too. But that's still not all. Christine and the other people are not the only ones who experience the rebuking of an alien demon with the name of Jesus. So, have many others. Check out what these independent researchers discovered.
One gentleman, far from the abductee population including all those with religious beliefs, there is one group of people that, by and large, is notably absent. They are Christians, those who are often described as Christian fundamentalists. Many people in the world claim to be a Christian, that is, they have Christian ideals or morality, and may even regard themselves as good people, but I am talking about what are known as born-again, Bible-believing Christians. It is as if ETS tend to avoid this select group of people. This reality has been largely ignored by many UFO researchers. Muslims, Buddhists, Jews, agnostics, all seem to claim abduction experiences. As more case studies were examined, a puzzling trend emerged. The so-called Christians reporting the abduction experience tended to be people who intellectually espoused the existence of God but didn't apply it personally, i.e. not true Christians. But there seemed to be an obvious absence of devout, Bible-believing walk-the-walk Christians. Where were they in this equation? One experience by a Mr. Bill D. took place at Christmas in Florida in 1976. His abduction started out typically, i.e., late at night, in bed. Earlier in the evening, he saw some anomalous lights through his living room window over a forest north of his home. He assumed it was a police helicopter search for drug runners or something. Whatever it was, it agitated his dogs for several hours thereafter. He eventually went to bed. He was lying in bed, kept wide awake by the barking dogs when paralysis set in. He was unable to cry out. He could see nothing but a whitish gray, like a mist or fog, although he sensed someone or something was in his room. His wife didn't waken. The next thing he knew, he was being levitated above his bed. By this time, he was alive with terror, but he couldn't scream. Here is where the story becomes very interesting. He states, so helpless, I couldn't do anything. I said, Jesus, Jesus, help me. When I did, there was a feeling or sound or something that either my words that I thought or the word that I had tried to say, or whatever had hurt whatever was holding me up. I fell, I hit the bed, because it was like I was thrown back in bed. I really can't tell, but when I did, my wife woke up and asked why I was jumping on the bed. This was the first time that experienced field investigators had ever heard of an abduction being stopped, and this man did it by just calling on the name of Jesus.
Another experience stopping abduction with the name of Jesus Christ goes like this.
One man shared, back about 1973, my wife had a strange experience in the middle of the night. At the time, we knew nothing about UFO abductions, so we had no category in which to place it other than extremely lucid nightmare. It has many of the abduction components. The point is that she stopped the entities and the whole experience with the name of Jesus. It's vital to get this information out. In addition, the Christian Church is not equipped to deal with such reports, because the UFO phenomenon has been largely misunderstood and dismissed by organized religions. Yet as the number of cases mounted, the data showed that in every instance where the victim knew to invoke the name of Jesus Christ, the event stopped. Period. The evidence was becoming increasingly difficult to ignore. Gradually, things became a little clearer. They started to understand that these events were completely spiritual in nature and resembled ancient stories and descriptions of what the Bible called demons. It seems amazing that the ET-believing ufologists, and even skeptics, have noticed that modern alien abductions resembled ancient stories of demons. Yet they have ignored the world's most famous and best-selling book, the Bible, which explains their origins. Compare the spiritual nature of UFO sightings with the character of alien abductions, and surely, we have to begin to realize that these entities are not real physical ETs from other planets. They are from another dimension, just as Val Lee, Keel, Mack, and so many other UFO researchers from different sides of the fence have concluded. So, to find their source, one needs to wear spiritual glasses. Unfortunately, most of these modern-day researchers have embraced a humanist-based view of this theory of evolution serving as the creator of both of them, and the aliens. This opens them up to spiritual deception, and in turn, has blinded them to the claims of the Bible, which makes God the creator. I suggest that the answers they have been looking for, but do not want to hear may be, God is real, and the Bible is true. This interpretation is further supported by the Space Brothers' single-minded obsession with undermining the Bible's account of the nature and mission of the only one who appears to be able to stop them, Jesus.
Maybe it's just me, but it sure sounds like we're dealing with demons here. I mean, if it walks like a demon and talks like a demon and acts like a demon and is rebuked in the name of Jesus Christ like a demon, then I'd kind of say, we're dealing with demons here. How much more proof do you need?